Tom, you bring to the table a pastoral background, and there are a lot of people who believe that whatever we're seeing, these are deceptors. They're messengers of deception. How do you feel about that? Are evil entities. They're demons. They're not friendly. They're not benevolent. They're not here to help us.
I think that the things that are being expressed in the world, you know, look at this just from a biblical point of view. The Bible talks about how Satan can take upon himself the form of an angel of light, but the Bible also talks about angels unaware. And when you look at secular ufology, they tend to interpret it identically with biblical angelology and demonology. There have been a great deal of very intelligent researchers. I mean, Jacques Vallée, in his Passport to Magonia, he talked about UFO knots, in his opinion, being the same thing as a form of angels and demons and elves and sieves and whatever that were talked about in ancient literature. Dr. John Mack did that too. He said they took the properties that belonged to both spirit and material worlds. And so I don't know. I mean, here's what somebody asked me on a program the other day. They said, if you had the opportunity, since you tend to look at all of this from a biblical worldview, and I do, they said, would you challenge Zachariah Sitchin? I said, well, first of all, I'm not smart enough. I'd have my buddy Mike Heiser do it. But I'm not smart enough to challenge.
Heiser would do it, though.
Yeah, he would do it. Yeah. But the deal is, But I wouldn't do that anyway, because we're both raised in a different upbringing, but I think we're both looking at the same empirical evidence. Now, I might try to make my argument as best I can as to why I see it the way that I do. But I think the bigger picture, George, is that we're both looking at the same material. We're both looking at the same event, something that actually happened, something that I think is going to happen again. And so I'm not even trying to skirt the issue. I'm just simply saying that I don't think I would be comfortable taking upon myself the opportunity to club somebody over the head with my ideas when they're looking at the same evidence I am, and they have been raised differently than I have. But I think I forgot what your question was and somehow wove mine into it.
Well, we're talking about the fact that, are these extraterrestrials or are they really demons? You know, some people have called them fallen angels, for example.
Right. Well, I believe that, I believe that a kind of transgenic science was used in ancient times. And there,
how
again,
so?
Huh?
How so?
Well, primarily based on the history of the stories from different civilizations that speak to us a time when the gods came down and they mingled their species with the human race. That's why earlier when I said that, you know, a stargate could be a wormhole, but in some cases, a stargate or a portal, the whole idea that a navigational portal, a pathway could be developed, might not necessarily mean the manipulation of, you know, matter and antimatter or, subatomic particles and energy. It might even mean that still, but it might be on a more personal level. I had to ask myself the question when I was doing all of this research, and some of this I wove into the book, The Ahriman Gate. This whole idea with these beings that came down, whether it's Zeus interbreeding with females and having Hercules and things like that,
right.
The stories are there, and they were interpreted in their own cultures then. They're interpreted within our various ideas today. But I had questions about certain parts of the story that seemed to be redundant. For instance, why did it seem to require the need to blend various species in order to create the pathways or portals through which these beings were extending themselves in the material world? You look at what modern researchers are saying to us today in this regard, this connection with abduction, and what the ancient watchers were doing, but what's happening in modern abduction today, where it seems to include this need for, I think, what Jacques Vallée called vital energy. Molecular energy, something associated with three-dimensional life forms that might be required as almost kind of a construct material for achieving incarnation by other dimensional beings. And here's a thought for you. If the Creator alone possesses the power to speak. That's in the Bible, that's the Hebrew word haya, let there be. If the Creator alone has the power to speak, to say words and call raw atomic or nuclear energy in a molecular form, is it then possible after the fact that this creative, this created living energy can be a raw material that can be manipulated by the gods in order to construct these three-dimensional expressions?
Right. In any way they want to.
And that seems to be the story over and over and over around the world and all the cultures around the world. And it also would explain, in our modern society, why humans and animals and various objects have been killed or mutilated or stolen in these UFO flap areas. Now, to get back to your question, in the case of the Watchers, which is, I think, what you're referring to, in the Book of Enoch and the Old Testament, this use of vital energy as a construct material for forming a dimensional pathway appears to have included both animals and human. Enoch says that the Watchers sinned against the animals as well as the humans. And you have to ask yourself if the only reason why the Watchers involved themselves with women was because the women were beautiful, which is kind of the, I think, the superficial approach to interpreting that script, that that text, then what was this blending with animal DNA all about? Now, you note the implication, first of all, in Genesis 6:2, where in the interlinear Hebrew Bible, it says, the B'nai Elohim saw the daughters of Adam, that they were fit extensions. Fit extensions is a perfect way to explain a portal, a stargate, something, molecular energy that can be formatted to produce some kind of a navigational dimensional pathway. Fit extensions from one reality into another. But also, what if by, and this is the question that where it begins to really get intriguing to me, what if by corrupting the species barrier, according to Enoch, this is a barrier that was commanded by the Creator, in which all the creatures were to recreate, quote, after their own kind. But the Watchers changed that. They did something different. They blended the species. What if they had successfully mingled human, animal, plant, DNA, and therefore combine the hereditary traits of several different kinds of species into a brand new mutation, an entirely new being, a Nephilim, that might suddenly possess the combined intelligence, the instincts of seeing and hearing and smelling and reacting to the environment,
right,
of all these different life forms in ways that would be unfamiliar to ancient men. For instance, many people believe that animals not only can sense things like earthquakes.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And smell tumors and begin migrating out of the way before a tsunami. But they also believe that animals can see spirits.